You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, when it comes to relationships, with just a few exceptions, you know, we fall into one of two categories. You know, we're either married and bored, or we're what? We're single and lonely. You know, on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we're discussing how to know if you're married and bored or you're single and lonely, and what you can actually do about it. You know, I think it's interesting how we always fall into one of these types of categories. I mean, I understand how it is, and a lot of times it goes back to the concept of the grass is greener. Because a lot of times we see everybody else as having fun, or having the best life, or being successful, and better yet, having what we actually want in our own life. And sometimes it can be hard to actually look at ourselves and say, hey, I'm proud of me, I'm proud of what I have, and I'm going to make the best of what I have. And I think that is what's so important, is that in this world, because of technology, because of the media, because of everything we see, we look at everybody else and think that they have it all. They've gotten it all figured out. They're smarter, they're more intelligent, they're better looking, they do their hair better, they have more hair. For some men out there, you're like, man, that guy's got a head of hair. Gosh, I wish I had that. You know, and a lot of times it can put us into a real tailspin. I mean, I remember when I was a child, my mother, oh my gosh, I love her, but my mother would always cut my hair extra short, extra short. It was like the Mary Lou Retton haircuts, okay? And constantly getting this haircut, and I always wanted long hair. I always wanted to have that long hair, always wanted long hair to my butt. That is exactly what I totally wanted. And I had a friend of mine named Beth, and her mom made her grow out her hair as long as possible. And I always wanted her hair, and she always wanted my hair, which is so funny because it's the opposite of what we both had. And that kind of gives a little glimpse into what we're talking about tonight, because I think whether if you're married and bored or you're single and lonely, there's a lot of facets to that, and there's a lot of reasons for it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get you out of that funk and get you back into living. You know, Bill, I think yes, this ma'am. Is really an important subject.
I think it is, too, you know, because the grass isn't necessarily greener on the other side. I'll bet there's even videos on YouTube.
I would have to bet on that myself.
I'll bet there's a Ashley Burgess channel on YouTube where you could go see those videos.
Yeah, you're right. Ashley Burgess channel. That's perfect. Good deal there. That was a good plug.
So, I've never been married myself. And although I was engaged once, and I've had a couple serious relationships in the past. I'm in a serious relationship right now for a year and a half, and we've discussed marriage. And but I've never, you know, officially taken the walk down the aisle. And I've always thought that, you know, being married would be cool. Having that, you know, soulmate, that significant other, you know, your best friend and your lover. And, you know, that's the person you get to come home to every day, every night. And, you know, you raise kids in the suburb, you know, with the white picket fence and Fido in the backyard and, you know, take family vacations in the station wagon or I guess in this these days, the SUV. And, you know, you live happily ever after the end.
Well, you know, and that's interesting that you say that because you're right. I mean, from the outside looking in, that's exactly what you see.
Yeah.
But also between the words that you said is also the reason why people that are married become bored. Because you do go home to the same person every night. You do hang out with the same person every night. You have the kids that at first seems very fun and very cool that ends up being a lot of your life. And it, not to say that it's not good, but to say that, like, we as humans have a tendency of not really finding value in something until it's gone, right? Like, the newness, once the newness wears off, and we're always like, because in the very beginning, everything seems so fun and exciting, you know, and it's not until a few years down the road where you're like, my God, my best years of my life have passed me by.
Yeah.
You know, or on the flip side, single and lonely, where you see all your married couples and you go out with them at night. You go with them over to their house, and they have that picturesque home, right? They got the perfect cars. They're in the perfect neighborhood. Their kids are pretty cool, too. They're not crazy. They're not all over the place. They make great dinner, awesome wine. They seem like they have everything together, and you're over there looking at your life going, man, I am just pathetic.
Yeah, because by a certain point, why aren't you married? You know, why aren't you, you know, getting all this? And this might be jumping the gun a little bit, actually. We can cover this later on in the show. But just because you're single, statistics show, doesn't necessarily mean you've never been married before. And so there's the dynamic of, okay, you're dating, but there's other kids involved.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, too.
You know, Brady Bunch type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. So let's talk about this tonight. We're really talking about, you know, how to know if you're married and bored and single and lonely and what you can do about it. And I think that's so important because I think we all find ourselves into that situation at some point in time. And I think whether you're married and you feel as though life has passed you by, or perhaps the sex that was every day is now quite rare. Okay. And think about it. Well, when you start getting married, see, you're not married yet, and I can speak from the married point of view, is that I can speak from both points of view because I've been single and lonely, and I've been married and bored. Okay. I've been both. I've been on both sides of this fence.
Right.
The grass looked greener on both sides of the fence.
And it turned out it was just spray-painted concrete.
When I was on the other side of the fence, I thought that was greener. When I was on the other side of the fence, I thought that was greener. Because I remember back when I was single, okay, in my swinging single days. Well, the funny thing about me is I was really never single. I was always living with somebody. So I can't really consider that single. You know, I'm sure that some of my boyfriends in the past would be kind of considerably angry if I used the word single because we were supposedly in a committed relationship. However, I remember going over to some of my friends' houses that were married, and all I saw was what I wanted to see. You know what I'm saying? All I saw was how great their house was decorated and how cool things were and how they had the best of wine and they had cool wine goblets. You know what I mean? And I didn't have wine goblets and I didn't have matching silverware and I didn't have matching plates and I didn't have a house with a really great pool that you could entertain and be like the couple.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I would be like, oh, I would talk about how my friends, those particular friends were the coolest and they had the best marriages. You know, and sadly enough, most of those people are no longer married. Okay, their marriage weren't perfect, and they weren't that happy, and now they're all divorced. All those couples I looked up to, none of them are still together. Okay, some of them are on with other people, and some of them are back in the single
yep.
crowd, dating and doing that sort of thing. But it's interesting how we look from different perspectives. And on the flip side, being a married person that's been married for almost 12 years, I sometimes go out with my single friends on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and you go out, and it's crazy because you go out, and like some of my single guy friends, it's like they're popping bottles of Cristal. They're always hanging out, having a blast. They seem to be like the life of the party, right? Their house is like party 24/7. You show up, and it's just craziness. And you're just like, man, I remember back when I did that in the past, you know? And you start kind of feeling like, man, I don't know. That was some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I have some girlfriends that are single, and they're swinging single. I mean, you'll go out, and they'll have the club, and they have their own table, and they got their own bottle service, and all these guys are young and gorgeous and hanging all over
them. Hitting on them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you're just like, man, I remember back when I was like that. And you go home, and it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, you go home later than you should. You know, in my case, and I'd be like, hey, honey, I'm home, you know, and half of you is just really happy that you have the life you have. And then there's other part going, but remember when you were single? Remember all the fun? Remember you didn't have that much responsibility? And I think we have a tendency of glamorizing, and I want to talk about that later on, because again, when the grass is greener, I don't really think we're seeing things in the right perspective.
Yeah, it could be just painted concrete.
It really could.
Hi,
and I've actually spray painted concrete, probably illegal with state issues and law enforcement. However, we did that, and we're not going to talk about exactly
when. Probably the statutes of limitations has passed on that, but, you know.
I think it's 7 years, so it's definitely not passed.
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We're going to just let that go. That really never happened. That was in Bill's brain.
Yeah, those of you who are in law enforcement, you didn't just hear that last part.
Yeah, nothing about that. Bill's just talking smack.
I'm using the force right now. Those aren't the droids you're looking for.
Those are not what you're looking for. See, but so think about it, you know, because I think everybody can kind of understand this. And I know that I, for fact, have been on both sides of that. And I think it's interesting, too, when you have children, how great children can be. But at the same time, a lot of times we don't realize that kids take a lot of time. You know, it's not until you have children that you realize, my God, I mean, this is a lot of work.
I mean, they become your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to actually work to keep some sort of adult life, you know? You have to work to actually have a social life outside of the kids. I mean, some people aren't able to do that at all. I have some friends that literally went from being party animals, and they're married, and they even party animals with their spouse. And it wasn't until, you know, she gets pregnant, and all of a sudden, you know, there's no more going to the concerts, no more Kid Rock stuff, no more, you know, all that stuff, going to the heavy metal concerts out there or wherever they're at, right, having a blast.
No more, you know, bar hopping, you know, no more, you know, just on the whim, you know, just going here or there or, you know, whatever.
Or taking crazy trips or doing whatever. And I remember like, I'm trying to think of the guy that actually sings that they always go to these concerts and it's... And they're always going to the same concerts. And I remember they would tailgate for days. They would hang out. They would have a blast. And then guess what? All of a sudden, Prego comes, and everything changes in their life. And a lot of times, we don't really think about all these factors. You know, just like in the single life too. You know, it's not always as it's cracked up to be. You know, I remember when I was single, like between relationships, and I did feel lonely sometimes.
Yep.
I did wonder, was I ever gonna meet Mr. Right? Was I ever going to meet somebody that I could actually have a relationship with and love being with and have those dinners and go out to dinner and hang out and be that couple, you know? And you'd always go and hang out with the couples and it would make you like almost like suicidal. I mean, to me, it was like you would leave there and you would be like, do I just go home and hang out by myself? Or do I go drink my sorrows at the bar? It drives you to drink. It drove you to drink. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, self-medicating.
And you're like, I'm going to forget all
this.
Yeah,
I mean, no, because when you're drunk or, you know, whatever, then you don't feel bad. You know, those feelings are covered up.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. So when we return, we'll be talking more about how we can understand married and bored and single and lonely. And, you know, when we fall into those categories, we're going to talk about what you can do about it to change up that whole situation and to begin to embrace your current situation. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, really, when it comes to relationships, we have few exceptions that fall out of these two categories. Whether you're married and bored or you're single and lonely. And I remember Chris Rock said that in one of his comedy routines, which I think is pretty funny because it actually kind of is true. If you think about it, it's like everybody that's married, you know, you're happy about being married to a degree unless you're in a bad marriage. And you like your kids too, but there's sometimes that you would trade it all in to be single again, you know? Just like on the flip-flop. We have that same thing where when you're single and you look at all your married friends and you're like, man, I really wish my life had some structure. You know, I really wish that I could come home and my wife would be making me dinner and my kids would be happy to see me instead of me walking into my house and, you know, I feed my pet snake that's in the aquarium and I go get a 12-pack of beer and I drink myself silly tonight, you know? That's what happens.
And that was just a typical night.
That was just a typical
night. Yeah, I mean, that was just normal.
Me and my pet tarantula, my pet snake.
Yeah.
You know, just going crazy, listening to some Jimmy Buffett on the radio. Yeah, I mean, think about it. A lot of people go through this because guess what we do? We actually perceive certain perceptions on what other people are doing in their life. And I think that's what's so important for us to really talk about tonight is that when we're seeing things in a certain way, when we put our wants and desires on other people, we see their life as having all this stuff that we don't have.
Well, and I think it's also important to remember, too, that a lot of times we see what we want to see. And maybe not what's actually there. Or also, we see what people present to us.
Well, yeah. Yes, exactly. What they present to us as well as what we want to see. Because we have to have those shades colored a certain way to believe it.
Because going back to what you were saying, if you're single and you're lonely and it's like, gosh, wouldn't it be great to be married? Well, then, you know, it stands to reason that you look at a married couple and, oh, wow, what a great life they have. And you may miss some of the signs that maybe their life isn't so great.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was talking about earlier, too, is that I had some friends that I looked up to so much because they were married and they had it all together and they had the picture-perfect life and they had the great house and it was like the cool married house, but yet it was also that party house. You know what I mean? It was like the best of both worlds,
right.
You know? But I'll be honest with you. I mean, like, partying too much in a marriage doesn't really work. Okay.
Well, and some people try, though, and end up neglecting their kids.
Neglecting their children and neglecting their spouse as well.
I mean, right.
Because there's a slippery slope effect, right?
Yep, so sure is.
I have some friends of mine. We don't really hang out as much because their life kind of made a turn. made a turn in a way that I wasn't going. And I remember a couple of my friends, it was funny, one of them decided that they were going to spice up their life.
Ah.
They were like, you know, this marriage thing, we've been married for about 5 years and we're kind of bored.
Was Victoria's Secret involved in this?
I don't know about Victoria, but there were some women and men involved.
Or some other type of secret?
So they decided they were going to swing.
Gotcha.
So they went out looking for, they went to swinger clubs and they started going out to swinger clubs. And apparently in certain suburbs, there's a big swingers population, by the way. Did you know that?
I did know that. And in my opinion, that's really dangerous. But go ahead.
And there's a big collection of them.
Yeah.
Okay? And they have private parties at their homes.
Right.
And they're VIP parties. And they invite special people. They even have groups. There's something called the Beautiful Club. There's all kinds of stuff right out there. Right. And so people go into this group and they meet other people that are like-minded, right? That want to have
supposedly.
Sex. Yeah, I guess so. And so this couple friend of mine, there were several of them actually, they were like, man, you got to check this out. We met this group and they're great. And, we went out the other day and my wife wasn't all getting into it, but I think she'll get around to it. Just a little more alcohol. And I think that will push her over the edge.
The
right?
Liquid courage.
The liquid, yes. And so I remember one time my friends call me up and they go, you got to come by this party. And I wasn't thinking about anything. And me and my husband come by this party. We left within like 15, 20 minutes, okay? Because they could have been honest with me on this party deal. I walked in. This thing is a swingers party, a full-out swingers party. I mean, there's women in lingerie running around. There's men with everything hanging out. And they're all like, this is the way that we're going to take our marriage back. And I go, so wait a second.
By having sex with somebody else.
Yeah.
See, that's the part I've never understood about that.
Well, I think there's a big sign. Okay, so I think everybody listening tonight can agree that there's a side of jealousy, right? That one spouse is going to feel probably more than the other.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, there's a couple and they meet another couple, right? And they're hanging out. What if the girl, what if the wife feels like the other girl is more, is better looking? Okay, and sees her husband, doodling her, right? I mean, that's a lot of stress, and I think that's hard to get over. I don't care what you're taking. Okay,
I mean,
it's still ingrained in your mind.
I was gonna say it's bad enough when one spouse looks at somebody of the opposite. Okay, I'll just use your excuse, but if the husband looks at another woman, say just walking down the street.
Oh yeah, and you know
she's
hot,
and then the wife is like, oh, you think she's hot, huh?
So what does she have over me?
I mean, that happens often enough, but I can't even imagine that dynamic in a sexual situation.
Oh, and think about it. So let's fast forward a little bit. So my friends are all hanging out, and they're telling me all about this stuff. And one couple friend of mine is just like, this is really helping our whole. This is helping our whole deal. I mean, you don't understand, Ashley. This is what we've needed the whole time, okay? And I said, okay. And I said, but what are the limitations you have? I said, have you all put any rules or regulations down? Because it seems to me that there needs to be some sort of guidelines, right? I mean, we're already past the point of guidelines at this point in time. I mean, we are talking about swinging here, right? But there seems that there needs to be some sort of practicality, of maybe some sort of like word that you say that you go, okay, I've had enough. What is it? Something just like, you had enough and you're ready to go.
And gray or black or whatever.
Or Sony. I don't know. And everybody leaves. But the thing is, they don't create any of that because they think everything's going to stay in the same isolated little deal. And what ultimately happens is one of the spouses goes outside of that agreement and contacts the person that they had sex with, right? And starts creating a relationship that way.
Human drama being what it is, and maybe this is, maybe not. I'm not being open-minded. Maybe some of our listeners out there are going, well, you just had to be open-minded. Fine. I mean, maybe I'm just not being open-minded enough. Maybe I'm guilty of backward thinking. There's just certain lines you shouldn't cross. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't ever been a swinger, okay?
Okay.
And I'm gonna throw that out there right now. I haven't ever swung as far as, sexually, I mean, I swung a bat, and I used to play on a league for baseball, and I was, shortstop and all that great stuff. But I've never, I've never swung sexually, okay?
Okay.
And so I can't really speak for everybody that's out there listening about that, but I would have to say that it's got to be pretty hard. It's got to be hard to keep a marriage. And all those couples that I spoke about, there were several, there was probably about 10 of them. I feel like I was doing like some sort of scientific study. The weird thing about that is those people I knew. I mean, maybe that says something about me, right? I don't know. Anyway.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah, golly. But only one of those couples is still together right now. And they went through a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Okay. They went through a hard, long road. And the rest of them are not together because what happened is that the insecurity and jealousy and rage and anger got such a big part of what was going on that all this got wrapped up. One person couldn't stop doing what they were doing, and the other person got so jealous that they went on out and had an affair. Okay. And the thing is that where do you draw
the line?
I'll
show you.
Yeah. I mean, where do you draw the line at that point?
Right. Right. Which I understand. You know, I've actually talked to people who are swingers before, and supposedly you make this pact beforehand about, okay, you know, here's the guidelines. Here's what we're willing to do. Here's what we're not willing to do, or what I would rather you not do.
But then again, it's like a slippery slope.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
you're opening Pandora's box right here to the point where you're like, at what point in time is it okay that my wife's having sex with this dude, right? And why is it okay that I'm having sex with this woman and we're watching this?
You know, I've always equated sex to drugs in a certain
context. I can see that.
I mean, with both of them, you're trying to get gratification out of it, all right? Of course, scientifically speaking, sex releases endorphins.
True.
And the body's natural endorphins are very, very powerful. And I've always thought that, okay, you know, in this day and age where over 50% of marriages end in divorce, I think that if you go into a marriage, you know, just thinking, okay, gee, now I have a, you know, regular sex partner, because eventually, you know, sex loses its luster with the same person. It may take longer or shorter. So what do you do? What do you do to get that high back? Well,
what do you do to get it back?
Yeah,
what do you do to get that?
Some
that
people
drug?
Stray, you know, to try to have sex with other people, and that's what, you know, infidelity hits and divorces hit. But I think in this case, like you said, you know, some people are trying swinging
to do it together as a participation type thing,
right?
Not on the side.
You're trying to have it both ways. You know, trying to commit a relationship, but you want to get that high back. You know, in your sex
life.
Or
they have open relationships,
yeah,
where you can kind of go do your thing.
There you go. And but like you said, I've never heard of a long term relationship or marriage lasting being committed swingers.
And I haven't. I only know one couple, and they went through hell and back. I mean, I honestly, and they were the ones that were touting it the most.
Because
at some point,
you can't stop human nature.
Well, yeah, because eventually somebody's going to get more interested in something,
right?
And like you said, you know, when you're having sex, that's an ecstasy type thing. That's all this stuff going on, and so you start equating with that a lot. Like when people are married and they have infidelity, and they go and they're having sex with somebody on the side, and you know what always normally happens is that the married person that's having sex on the side tells whoever they're having sex with, you know, oh, I love you, because eventually the sex leads to love,
right?
And even though a lot of men out there will say, no, 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 when I have sex, it's definitely not love. You can only compartmentalize for as long as you can.
Even men.
Okay, let's be honest with you. Let's be honest with you. After 10 times, you can only compartmentalize as long as you can. I remember there's an analogy of 3 times, right? For men, I remember some people talking about it a long time ago, some of the old school, like, hardcore players I used to know. And they'd be like, once you had sex with a woman after 3 times, you either got to let them go or you got to realize that you're going to probably have some feelings for them.
I've heard that. Yep.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
And they're like, because otherwise you just can't keep compartmentalizing it, even though they're the dons, right? And that's the thing, is that I think a lot of times when we're married, we're trying to find something to ignite that flame again, you know, to find that sex drive, to find what you found in the very beginning. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've been working on a plan for that. You know, I've been working on a plan on how to do that. And a lot of it is realizing that what you see is only what you see. It's only your perceived perception. Okay, that's all it is. And the only thing that your perceived perception.
Say
by
that
Ashley
three times.
Burgess. Perceived perception. Perceived perception. Perceived perception. And think about it. It's like it's crazy because a lot of times it's about the mystery. Okay, it all goes back to a lot of the mystery. When you have this mystery with people and you meet somebody and they seem sexually interesting, okay, mysterious, i.e., you haven't been in the same bathroom when they're taking a crap, i.e., you haven't been around them when they had the stomach virus.
You haven't picked up their dirty underwear or had to
their
wash
skinny
it.
Skinny underwear,
you know?
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. You haven't had to take them to a surgery. You haven't had to help them when they're throwing up in their hair. None of that's happened, okay? So all this is so mysterious. And, you know, for that matter, if it's a woman, she doesn't even use the bathroom. You know what I mean? She's a Barbie doll that doesn't even use the bathroom. I mean, that's how mysterious it is. You know what I mean? It's so interesting and wild, and I got to figure out what's going on there. And so I think a lot of that is what we want to talk about here when we return. We're going to talk more about the whole concept of being married and bored and single and lonely and what you can do about it and really how to put it in perception and perspective on what you need to learn to get past that, get over that grass is greener series, and get back into living your life. So stay tuned, because me, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, I guess we'll be back in 2 shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, when we're talking about relationships, we really can put relationships in two different categories. You're either married and bored, or you're single and lonely. Chris Rock said it best, I think. And you know, when you think about those types of things, and we can all kind of assimilate. Okay, everybody tonight listening, even if you have the greatest marriage, there was a time in your marriage that you were bored senseless, okay? You got to that point where you were checking the refrigerator every 10 minutes, you were overeating, you were watching TV all the time, playing video games, completely out of sorts with your marriage, because you're bored. You find yourself going out with your single friends and coming home pretty late and wondering how the, you know, how the good life was. You know, on the flip side, when you're single, you're out there and you're out and about trying to find someone, trying to find your soulmate. And in all the process, when you go on these dates, you get totally upset, angry. Is anything ever going to work out for you? Are you ever going to find true love? Are you totally getting screwed around? You know, for all the women out there, you're like, I'm never going to find a guy that's decent. All these guys are out there for just one thing. All these douchebags, all this crap, all the time. I have to deal with it. I'm constantly over it. They all want the same thing. I've been on Tinder for X amount of months, and I still haven't found shining armor and a guy that can walk and just save me. And then for all those men out there, at first you like loving it because you're just cleaning up. Okay, you're just, come on, just be honest with it. You're cleaning up.
Leading the league in batting average, just scoring.
400.
That's right.
600, you know, it's like taking steroids out there, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Barry Bonds, move over.
It's like a robot out there, you know, robot made out of steak or something. Yeah, so, you know, right before the break we were talking about swinging. And we were talking about how a lot of married couples use swinging as a technique to increase the libido, increase the sex drive, increase the interest in a marriage. And I understand that that would be kind of the next step. You know, I get it, that is a thought process. It's like, you know, if it's not all happening in the bedroom right now, well, let's make it happen. Let's bring two more people in. Let's see what happens. Let's go for that. And I think that that's an interesting segue. But I think that's almost, there's like a reason where this is coming from. And I think it's almost like I'm not going to let the natural progression of a marriage go to the certain level. It's like you have to sit there and eventually find something sexy or something interesting about your spouse. And maybe it's because a lot of times maybe we're not telling our spouse how we feel. And I think that's interesting, is that I have some friends that are married and their wife or husband has gotten really overweight.
Well, yeah. And actually, I mean, I kind of think this is why an entire industry has been built up over the idea of spicing up the sex life.
Lingerie.
You know? I mean, women's magazines. I think Cosmo is just in business just to, provide tips on, better sex life, right?
What to do in the bedroom.
Yeah, you know, and all the sex, you know, quizzes and stuff like that. And
how to do it right.
Right. And try this, and this is what really turns him on.
This is tinselating.
You know, exactly. And, you know, of course, you know, lingerie.
Edible lingerie.
And toys.
Cotton candy flavor.
Adult toys and, you know, all the good stuff. You know, like Larry the Cable Guy. You know, I wish they had, you know, cream and gravy eating britches. Then I get overweight on that.
Biscuits and gravy.
yeah, biscuits and gravy.
I love biscuits and gravy. You know? Little biscuits and gravy, little pepper
little,
on there.
Little edible shorty shorts there.
Making me hungry.
But
making me hungry. You know what I mean? So, like, think about it, though, the whole swinger thing, and I understand that's the next step. But let's flip it around and talk about, you know, single and lonely. Let's talk about the links that we go to when we're single and lonely.
Right.
Going out to the club every night, no matter what club. Grabbing your friends.
Every night.
Praying. That is, as a woman, praying that your other girlfriends will step up and go. I mean, I've been on that side of the fence where you want to go out to the club and you just pray that somebody, you can't, because as a single woman, okay, as a single woman that's not a prostitute, okay, I'm just being honest with you, as even prostitutes normally go in pairs, okay, a single woman that's not a prostitute really cannot go into a bar by herself, period. For safety reasons is one.
Right.
Okay. That's just obvious. Safety reasons. I mean, you're asking for it. Okay. And you just don't want to. I mean, I'm not talking about rape or something like that, but I'm talking about you got to watch your drink. You're not paying attention. You're kind of like bait. Like you're out there. It's almost like they're fishing.
It's a jungle. The lions are circling. And
you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And so you want to have your friends with you. And so you call up everybody and you hope that someone takes the bait. Come on. We're going to have the best time ever. And you know what you're going to hear is you're here, oh, I don't feel good. I got that allergy thing going around, or I don't think I'm going to make it. I've been working so late. You got one other person. I got nothing to wear. And then finally, when you call that last person, you go, I'll buy all the drinks. I'll come pick you up. what time can you be ready?
She's even more desperate than you are.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, I'll do whatever you can, you know what I mean? And I've been in that position on both sides where I was the one that had all the drinks bought because I didn't really want to go at all, but yet I was like, well, if they're paying for everything, then I'll come out with you, you know? And so everybody gets what they want, you know? I got drinks, and they got a wing woman, you know?
Right.
And for all the men out there, too, I mean, it's not fun to go out by yourself.
No.
I mean, we want to go out with a posse. You want to go out with your wolf pack.
If you're by yourself, and I've experienced this from both sides. If you're by yourself, then women tend to look at you like, what's wrong with him? You know, he's just by himself.
Or he's trolling.
Yeah, right, right.
What does he want? And, he looks like he's up to something.
So yeah.
Watch him around your drink. I don't know what's going on right there, right?
So you need at least a wingman, you know, there to, you know.
So you have the wingman, right? And you're at the club. But the problem is that you go to these clubs night after night looking for somebody, right? Looking for somebody. And that gets hard. That becomes a job. I mean, you got to go home from work. Get ready, change, put in your club attire, right?
The uniform.
Spend a buttload of money while you're out there, and then let's just say you meet somebody. And a lot of times when you meet somebody in that type of scene, is it always legitimate or is it more perception? You know, what are you seeing that person doing? You know what I mean? You can't really hear anybody in a place that's loud.
Well, and besides that, you know, the more alcohol you have...
My head still hurts.
The more your perception of the person changes, you know, it's kind of the old joke about, you know, a girl gets prettier the more alcohol you drink.
Beer goggles.
Yeah.
You know? I got my beer goggles on. They're my Coke bottle goggles. I love them.
It's like there's this really funny video out there. And I'll show it to you on the break. It's the Irish DUI test.
Oh, no.
And so here comes a guy out of a bar, stumbling, can barely walk. You know, he's going, he's done for the night, so he's going to drive home. Here comes the cop. You know, excuse me, sir, have you had anything to drink tonight? And the guy goes, a couple of drinks. You know, obviously he's had more. Well, then you wouldn't mind taking a wee sobriety test. No, no problem. So he steps out of the way. All right. What did you sleep with my colleague here? And out steps like the, you know, ugliest, you know, like she fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch down, right?
Oh, poor ugly tree branch
and,
lady.
You know, so, but then the guy looks at her and goes, "Hi," you know, and then the cop is like, okay, cuff
you're arrested, buddy. You know? You're coming in cuffs right now.
Failed.
You're coming in these cuffs right now. You're arrested. You totally fell for it. No, I've had friends like that.
And, you know, as stereotypical as that is, it's still funny.
I've had friends like that. I didn't sleep with her. Oh, come on. You know, you don't want to tell them that you actually have cameras in the bathroom where you saw it. But anyway, let that go.
Yeah.
However, no, a lot of times we find these reasons to do stuff. So if you're married and bored and you're over there trying to figure out how to swing or what to do to try to make that more exciting, or you're single and lonely and you're trying to find Mr. or Mrs. Right and you seem like you're going in all the wrong places, but the reasons why we're doing this is why do we do all these things? And that's what we're talking about tonight, is why do we put ourselves through all this pain and all this heartache? Based on what? Who are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to be? And that's the case. And I think that, you know, when you're single, you're always looking for that person. You're not even having fun being single,
right?
I mean, when I look back at my single years, I had fun. But I felt like it was more of a chore. Like, you know, you meet somebody and then you figure out, where's this going? You know, and then you meet somebody else and you go, where am I going with that? You know what I mean? And then people don't want to lose too much time, so everybody wants to know where everything's going. You know, because people don't want to lose a year or 2 years of their life, right? Which happens a lot.
Yeah.
So you have all this stuff happening and you're over there like, at what point in time am I supposed to be hitched and married and have kids? And I have friends right now that are getting on that married train and they're already like, yep. Got to have a kid within the first 4 months after the marriage. We got to get pregnant. We got to get prego because she's got to have a kid. And it's like, that's like, to me, I think you take all the fun out of a marriage when you're sitting there predicting when you have to do this, when you have to do that. Or if you're single and you're over there going, man, I'm 26. I'm 26 years old. I'm a female. I'm 26 years old. And I haven't met the love of my life yet. Is there something wrong with me? I mean, you have women that wonder the same thing at 32.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with me?
Yep.
At 35, oh, God, I must be really insane. You know what I mean? There must be so many problems with me that nobody's going to marry me. And it's like we put all these filters up, and the problem is that makes us even lonelier, more desperate, based on something that's not even reality. Who said that you have to be married by a certain time? Who said? Who said that formula is the only formula? That's my question, is that everybody buys into what the formula is. Like, for example, this room is supposed to look like that, and the carpet's supposed to be like that, and da-da. Well, who said I had to have carpet?
Well, that's a good point.
Right? Who said?
Yeah.
You know, and people go, well, everybody's always done it that way. They get married at a certain age, and then they have kids, and then they do this, and then they hate their life, and then they figure out what they want to do, and then somebody gets a mistress, and then, you know, their marriage breaks up, and then we start all over again. You know, and then you meet somebody, you go back into the dating pool again, and as you're in the dating pool, all you want to do is what? Get married again. Because you go,
and the cycle repeats itself.
Yeah, like, I really hate being single. Like, I have friends that get divorced, and it's so funny because it's not funny, but it's so true. They get divorced because the marriage isn't working. Okay, they've lost, it stopped working years ago, but they have a kid, so they stayed in it for as long as they could, and then they get divorced. And so they separate, and they move into two different houses, right? So you got one person in one house and one person in another house. Usually the guy lets the wife stay in the house because she's going to watch the kid more.
Yep.
They'll take custody. And before the divorce is even finalized, they're being very amicable. They're being very happy with each other. They're very cool with one another because all of a sudden they're away from each other. Okay, like all of a sudden they have like a newfound life, like breath of life, because they're finally away from this oppressive spouse that they've had for all this time, right? And the funny thing is that when the divorce is even finalized, everything's still good and everybody's still happy and they're actually talking more than they ever have in their whole life. They're not arguing, they're not fighting, they occasionally see each other and everything's great. It's not until that other spouse gets engaged. And one's still single.
And that one is moving on with his or her life and the other one is stuck.
Changes everything.
Yep.
I mean, everything goes upside down. And the person that's still single goes crazy. Like, I have a friend right now that is off the charts crazy. Off the charts crazy. Every time I see them, every time I see him, he is out of control. And I'm talking 9:30 at night, shirts untucked. I mean, it's almost like all he needs to do is put his tie around his head and run around naked. I mean, because he really is at that level. He drinks so much now because he tries to drink himself into oblivion because he wants to get out of the fact that he was married, but he was so unhappy with the marriage that he had to get divorced. But yet, all he wants right now is to be married. All he wants in his whole life is to be married. He doesn't want to be single. He wishes he could get something back. And then he starts wondering, God, could I have made this marriage work? God, could we work this out? Could we actually make this work? And then that's when all the questions come up and go, oh my God, was I looking at everybody else to try to give me, you know, to tell me that I was okay, to try to tell me that my marriage was good, when in actuality, maybe I could have worked this out because what I have right now is no better than what I had. And I think a lot of us go through that period of time where it's like, oh God. And then on the same flip side, you get married to somebody you don't love, married to somebody you're unhappy with. What happens then? You wish you were single. Like, it becomes this freaking cycle that we freaking all live. It's like this stupid cycle based on the fact that we want something, but we don't really understand what we want. When we get it, we might not have been that clear about it. And when we get rid of it, it's the same. So stay tuned. We're returning to talking more about dealing with being married and bored and single and lonely and how you can actually get over this concept, get over this issue that you have, and make whatever situation you're in work. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been talking about married and bored or single and lonely. Which category do you fit in? And, you know, for the most part, most of us, unless you are just newly married, fits into married and bored. Single and lonely, well, you know, that's for the rest of us. So think about that. I think in order to really get out of the feeling, that feeling of being married and bored or single and lonely, you know, we have to ultimately begin to stop, to cease the thoughts that everyone else has a better life than we do. Think about it. I mean, from the single perspective who wants to settle down, you know, we see everyone who's settled down as having exactly what we want. You know, you feel like there's scarcity. You feel disheartened. You feel like there's a limitation of being able to get somebody, to find Mr. and Mrs. Right, right? That becomes disheartening. And you always figure that you're behind the eight ball because you figure that you're too old. You're getting too old. Nobody's going to love you. You're past your prime. What are you going to do? And I think that's something that we have to think about, too, because I think a lot of times we pigeonhole ourselves in what society deems is what we should do. Maybe what your parents think you should be doing. What's wrong with you? You're not married. What your friends feel. But I think it's mostly about in our head. If in your head you know that eventually you'll meet somebody, and when you meet somebody, it's going to work out, that's great. But in the meantime, instead of doing that, you're putting all the stress and strain in your life. You're stressing yourself out over something you can't control. You know, I think we feel as though time is passing by. And we worry if there's really anyone for, that there's someone for everybody, right? Is there really a soulmate? Will you find that someone? And I think it's interesting that a majority of married people get married early. You know, and singles tend to worry about the years that have gone by. You know, age is nothing but a number, and I'll tell you that one more time, because I think age is nothing but a number. It has no bearing on true love, and it has no bearing on what love and when love's really going to show up. I mean, who really knows?
In fact, we even dedicated an entire separate show to, you know, what is love, and, you know, when are you supposed to fall in love, and in the whole fantasy business, which now becomes our shameless plug segment of the show, Ashley. If I wanted to listen to that or any other previous episode of Ashley Burgess, I would.
You can go to ashleyburgess.com or Spreaker or iTunes. Also, if you'd like to buy or get a box set of any of Ashley Burgess's works, out of the Perspectives works, you can go to alltexasmusic.com. Again, alltexasmusic.com. And I think that's a really great source because we have all the shows, the last 200 and change on there, and so you can use those for anything you see fit. You know, I think one of the biggest issues, Bill.
Yes.
And this is one of the biggest issues, is that we, no matter who you are, no matter married or single, we're trying to fit in. Trying to fit in is one of the biggest sins that we can commit against ourselves because it really takes away from our true character and who we truly are. And I think that a lot of times in life, whether you're married or you're single, we're constantly looking to fit in. We want to fit that groove. We want to be that perfect, picture-perfect, award-winning married couple that everybody looks at and goes, oh, they have the best marriage. Oh, God, look at their kids. Oh, God, look at their life. Oh, they're going to the Amalfi Coast again for three weeks. Oh, my God, that must be nice. And they're staying in an ocean villa. And it's like, you know, you have that side or the single thing is that you're trying to fit in. You're trying to either get married or you're trying to be the playboy.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a single, to try to fit in, you got to be a player or, you know, a woman. Well, you know, there's other words for it, but. I won't use them on a family.
I won't use them on a family friendly show. See, that's a double standard. Okay?
It is.
That's a double standard.
It absolutely
so a man's
is.
Allowed to go out and have a bunch of sex, and a woman's not. She's a slut then.
Right.
You know.
Okay,
oh,
you'll say it. Okay.
I think there's male sluts out there all the time. I'll call them out on it too.
They are male sluts. They're called playboys. You know, or players. I mean, but it means the same thing. But you're right. It totally.
Playboy and
standard.
Slut seems totally different to me.
It is.
Playboy and slut.
I'm not arguing that.
It's like
one
bitch
bit.
And friend. I don't think those two things are the same either, right?
I don't think.
But I hear women calling each other that.
Yep.
It's like, dude, I would like go off and slug my friend if they did that. By the way, it's not a really good friend to have. You know, if they're calling you the B word all the time. You know what I mean? Out of love.
Or you know, female friends, you know, girlfriends. You know, we'll call each other slut. You know,
and that's what I'm talking about.
Slut. You know, I mean.
And
whatever.
He's like, dude, what are you talking about? You
I know.
Know what I mean, who
I
are you talking to?
I know.
I hope you're talking over there, because you know what. You're going to have a fish salad in the
but,
face.
One more quick point about, you know, fitting in. You've heard the old saying, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
And I think that's kind of human nature. You don't want to stand out. And I think that's what the societal pressure is to fit in, you know, because if you stand out, then people, the society around you is going to look to knock you down.
Well, I don't really think they look to knock you down. I think that you knock yourself down. I mean, I agree with you to a degree that people might think that you're weird or there's you have some marbles loose or your parents might wonder if something's been wrong with you.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is out of their self-interest. Most of that time, that is because your mom and dad, want to have grandkids. It's about self-interest. It's not because they want Bill to be happy, right? They want to have something of their own. And I think that you can deal with that, but I think trying to fit in, we all try to fit in for whatever reason. And the funny thing is that for the most part, I've realized in life is that nobody cares. Okay? What I do, half the people in the world don't give a crap. Okay? My friends don't even care what I do. Okay? I mean, like, as long as I'm not killing myself or hurting other people, for the most part, nobody cares. You could tell them something thinking they're going to be like, all like, they're just like, oh, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's one life to live, you know. And I think we have to look at it that way is that, you know, in the end, and I like to tell this to some people that are always so caught up in fitting in, is this.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please. Is that, you know, when it's all done and this life is over, right, and you're done and it's the last breath, you're not going to sit there and go, well, at least I didn't do that or at least I did that. You're going to probably think of the greatest times you had in your life, and on the side, there's going to be some regrets. don't have a lot of regret. I mean, there is one column, and there'll be two columns, the left and the right column, and these thoughts are going to spin into your head at such a rapid rate, you couldn't even time it. However, you want to have one column that's all about the things that you did and the life and the love that you had, and you want that to be really heavy hitting, and you want your regrets to be small. So if you're over there trying to figure out how to make your marriage better, figure it out. Go for it. You know, do what you can. But I think it, even on the single side, you want to appreciate, you want to appreciate what you have. So if you're appreciating being single for the time that you have, right? Because a lot of people don't appreciate it until they get married and then they go, oh God, I wish I was single again. Or when you get married and you have to look fondly at those single days. But for the married and bored, you forget how it was to be single. We remember only the fun and crazy times. You know, the hanging out with the single friends and doing everything and all we would want to see. You know, we see the champagne and crazy parties, but we don't see the next day. Okay. You know, right. you don't remember. And in your past, you've kind of either blacked that out, you know, because alcohol can do that to you.
Yes, it can.
Or you've blacked that out because you don't want to remember it.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, because there were some times that weren't great times. I mean, when I was single, there were some really fun times. But then there were some times that, you know, really, honestly, weren't that fun. There were some times when you sat there waiting for the phone to ring. And you go, well, is anybody going to call me? And it can be a lonely feeling. On the flip side, in the married life, you can sit there and have a great life on the outside and people can be like, oh, wanting to be just like you. And you could be dying inside. And also in married too, it's like sometimes you have to sit there and look and see what you have. Like, be able to love it and enjoy it before it's gone away. And I think the words to live by tonight is to enjoy exactly where you are in life right now.
Amen to that.
Realize how amazingly awesome it really is.
Yes.
Okay? And understand that the grass is never greener. It just appears that way to you. Okay, so think about that. Enjoy where you are in life. You'll never have this chance where you are right now ever again, no matter where you're at. Okay, this is it. You'll never experience this again. So if you're married or bored or single and lonely, suck it up and realize that this is pretty cool. I mean, the human condition is to find fault with our life. It's to find fault. It's to want to.
You always want something better.
Yeah, you want to jump around and go crazy. But at the same time, just you always want something different. But it's what you're looking at you think is better isn't even better. It might not even be as good. But it's new. And it's different. So enjoy your life where you are. Realize how awesome it is, whether you have a family and you have kids and you're married, or you're single and you're out dating and carousing and having a good time. There are lull times for both. There are down times for married and single. There are up times for single and married. Okay, so both sides of it have really great things going on, and both sides have things that, you know, aren't that fun. And so not just because somebody's married doesn't mean that their life is freaking awesome. And just because somebody's single doesn't mean that they're out partying with Cristal every night, okay? Because that's not the case either. And to understand that when we see other people living, so example, when I'm married and I see single people going crazy, I have to understand that that might look fun right then, but the grass is not greener, okay? And I can still have fun, and I can still be married, and I can still have fun. And I think everybody listening tonight understands that it's not a finite thing. You're not stuck. And you can always make it more fun, or you could always calm it down. But it's got to be about you, and it's got to be about you enjoying your life and realizing that this is a one-of-a-kind deal. That if you just go through the motions, if you just keep going through the motions like this, hoping and praying for something better all the time, you're never going to appreciate it. And the time's going to fly by so fast, and you're going to be like, man, what was I doing? Like, I wasn't even living. I was too busy comparing my life to every single person I met, wondering if, you know, like when you're married and at home, wondering, well, I guess everybody else is out tonight partying. I'm over here watching the kids. I bet they're out having a great time partying it up, drinking, carousing, having shots, getting crazy, meeting women, meeting men. And you start fabricating all this stuff in your head and start actually fabricating the fact that that would be a lot better. And is it really that much better? You know, on the flip side, if you're out and about and you're single and you're meeting people, but you haven't met Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and you sit there and you daydream and you think about your married friends and how lucky they got to be and how much better their life is, and you start comparing your life and saying that you're worthless and you're tired of this and you're ashamed that you're not at that level, man, you're missing out on some of the best years of your life. And it goes for both sides. And I think when you embrace where you're at and you understand how cool it is. If you change to the other level, you change to the other side of the fence, that's great. If you don't, that's also great too. But at the same time, you respect yourself. You don't have to be bored, and you definitely don't have to be lonely. Because those, again, are just words that really mean nothing. I mean, all there is really love, right?
Right.
And if we love ourselves, and we understand that we're never going to be perfect, married or single, nobody's ever going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to do some things that you're going to feel bad about, probably, right?
Only Ashley Burgess is perfect.
Oh, gosh. I love you. I love you.
About that raise?
I was thinking about Valentine's, but it's already passed. I was going to get you a big heart-shaped chocolate thing.
Well, my birthday's coming up. So.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, yeah, Geminis. Geminis connected. So, yeah. So, think about that. Except that you're going to do some things wrong. Except that you might make mistakes trying to spice up your marriage. Expect that you might make some mistakes and maybe might, I don't know, have a little extra fun as single. But all in all, think about it. You are living your life and you're happy with it. And you can look back and say, you know what? I live my life. I'm proud of my life. I might have done some crazy stuff and some things that I might not tell other people because I don't want the NSA checking on the phone. I might have to tell my best friend in seclusion somewhere. We're at a lake out there fishing or something. What I did to get it off my chest and to deal with it. But in the end, you love your life, and you're doing it because you just love it. So keep living your life. Keep loving your life. Enjoy your life. Realize how awesome you are right now, no matter what side of the fence of that green grass you're on. Are you on the married, or are you on the single? And accept it and embrace yourself. I think that was a great show tonight, Bill.
I liked it. Thank you very much.
So no longer married and bored and single and lonely, but just married or single. Have a great night. And Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.